Hey, y'all, welcome back to Erase the State. Maddie K here in studio with Mikey Two Names and a very, very special guest. He's back again, y'all. It's Brother Rock.
Brother Rock.
What's up, Rock?
Oh, man, you know, just happy to be here as usual.
Well, we're happy to have you. We're happy to have you. So I'm glad you're here for this because Mikey and I, we want to talk about the shooting that took place. This is, what, like a week ago now by the time this comes out? In, what was the name of this town? White Man Springs? What was this, White Settlement? Is that what it's called?
Something like that. West of Fort Worth, right?
Yeah, west of Fort Worth, White Settlement. In the Church of Christ, the COC, represent.
Oh, yeah. It's been many years in the COC.
So,
never heard of it. No, I'm kidding.
Always being discriminated against.
Does anybody know this man's motive, if any? Was he just on drugs?
I don't think so.
Drugs is a huge problem.
So from what I read, and there, his name's out there. I don't want to look it up. I don't want to say it. I mean, I don't think he was after attention, but I don't think it pays anyone any benefit to publicize that sort of thing. But from what I read about him, it seems like he did have a relatively troubled past, whether it was mental issues, drugs, alcohol, a combination of all of the above. That being said, no, he didn't leave a note. He didn't send any text messages. So I don't really know. He had some connection to White Settlement. I don't know if he was born there. I know he lived there for a time. I don't know what the motive was. I don't think we'll ever know, unfortunately. But tragically, two people were killed. It looks like, based on the video that we just watched a few times, the two that were killed, the first one that was heinously murdered was a member of the security team. The shooter was initially talking to a gentleman, produced a shotgun from under his coat. What I can assume is the member of the security team took out his weapon. Once the shooter saw that weapon, shot him first, then turned it on the first person he was speaking to. Shot him. From what I understand, both of those gentlemen died. And then once traffic cleared, if you will, for lack of a better term, another member of the church and the security team jumped up from the back, made one shot, took the guy out, and that's all she wrote. So, that being said, there's been a lot of...
This is actually a really good topic now that I think about it.
Yeah, so people, you know, all over social media... have been, and the gun crowd, right? Which I'm a member of the gun crowd.
It's a terrible incident, but a
right
topic.
And people have been, you know, praising his actions. What was his name? The guy that shot the initial shooter.
I know he was like, he's a trained marksman.
Yeah, so I think he owns a gun store, does training.
He trains. He's a trained marksman.
As soon as I find it, I'll let you know.
Okay. So he's been, you know, out in the media, and people have correctly called him a hero, because without his actions, certainly, you know, an untold number of people would have been murdered. So, this did happen in a church. So, Brother Rock, I'm glad you're here for this. You know, Jesus instructed us to turn the other cheek, to love our enemies. There are a lot of pacifists that exist in libertarian anarchist movements. So, this is something I struggle with, right? Because I am a gun guy. I do want to and hope that I can protect my family and my property and my friends as effectively as this gentleman did. But I do struggle with the fact that we should commend his actions to prevent senseless violence. But should we celebrate the killing of an otherwise evil man or a struggling person who made a poor decision? That's sort of what I struggle with, right? Like I don't like to see, like, I want to celebrate and clap and say, yes, that guy, awesome, he did the right thing. But I don't want to do what a lot of other people have done and kind of come off the top rope with the, man, I'm sure glad that guy's dead, because I don't, whatever demons he was dealing with or how evil he may have been, I don't want to ever celebrate the death of a human.
Well, you know what? If you don't mind, so I've been out of the order for a good bit now. pretty secularized, mm-hmm. secularized again, if you will.
No, you're not.
But you know what?
Come on, Rock. We're of the world, not in the world.
Talking to me, dude, there was a word that came in your mouth several times, and the word was struggle.
Yeah.
And the thing is, when it comes to like spirituality and the church, and I don't represent the church, whatever, this is just my take from my experience. People want answers for everything.
Sure.
They want to know what to do and what not to do. But the problem is, especially if you've read the gospel, Jesus doesn't give a lot of answers, like verbatim, like, if this happens, do this. Because that's not what Jesus' message is about. Jesus' message is about your heart. Like, where's your heart at? So, the reason why struggle is so important is because understanding things through the Christian lens in the best way requires work and struggle. So whether you know it or not, by you even talking about this topic at all, is your dip into the beginning of the struggle to find out what happened and what's important. So in other words, you're already attacking this from, you're already discussing this from a Christian standpoint, whether you know it or not. That's the funny thing. I bet you might not even have thought about it.
I didn't think about that aspect.
And that's the thing. Everybody wants to know, oh, thou shalt kill, thou shalt not kill. Okay, that's Mosaic law, you know, the Ten Commandments, you know, for a time when, you know, and I respect and honor the commandments, but Christ came and said, hey, let me show you what my heart is.
Sure.
Let me show you what God wants. And you have to look and you have to see and you have to see the leper in the struggle. And there's a lot of different perspectives and a lot of different angles. Humility is key, or why not? So you take that humility. Yeah, going into this, and I kind of strayed away there, but what was your initial question? Like, you struggle, you struggle with whether you were glorifying of the death of another human being, right?
And that's certainly something that I don't want to do, and I've done in the past, and I want to try and I don't feel that's a very Christian standpoint.
Yeah, because
you used to see stuff like this, right? And everybody wants to high five and go, "Yeah, we got that fucker," right? Well, I don't feel like that's the right.
I think you glorify the action. Right, we're glorifying the good deed.
Did you find his name?
Okay.
Oh, yeah, sorry. And the gentleman's name was Jack Wilson. I had three separate CNN articles pulled up trying to find his name. The articles, they just called him the shooter.
The responder.
Yes. So they never would. So just like we will not glorify the name of the shooter, the guy who shot the church, they don't want to glorify the name of the freaking man who saved the church.
You're proving what I was saying here through that whole example right there. You know, the whole glorified, we killed this mother effer, right? So it's like, okay, that's lazy.
Right.
To take that opinion about a matter like this. That's lazy.
Yeah.
That's not Christianity. Christianity is not lazy. It's diligent.
Sure.
And you look in more, what happened here and all this stuff. So it's like, whether it's like, oh, well, they shouldn't have had Gundon Church, or, you know, this mother effer is dead or whatnot. I mean, all those perspectives are lazy, and a Christian approach would require a lot more care into the matter, if you will.
Right, right. And that's what I'm trying to do. And I'm not trying to, like, you know, I'm definitely not a holier-than-thou type of guy, right? I struggle with this every day, right? But yeah, I was certainly in that camp before, like the, you know, super NRA, and yeah, we got that guy. That's one more.
Oh, yeah.
That's one more dude off the street we don't have to worry about, right? Well, now I'm trying to be more thoughtful in my old age, and I think that's while I do commend the actions of Jack Wilson, I think it's wrong to celebrate the death of the initial shooter. For one, we don't know what he was going through. You know, like, yeah, that. He killed two people, right? He's a murderer. But was he in the correct mental state? What was he acting on? You know, there's a lot of things going on that we don't know. And at the same time, he's still a human. And I think to dehumanize somebody kind of allows you to go down paths that we shouldn't be going down. When you start dehumanizing people, no matter how bad they are, he's still a human being.
That's an incredibly Christian view. That's very interesting that you say that. Wow. Yeah, I mean that's like a kind of advanced spirituality.
I've tried,
Mister Not Holier Than Thou. Yeah, I mean,
at any rate, I mean, and then the other part that I, with the action of Mr. Wilson, how do you, as a former, you know, man of the cloth, I guess, how do you take Jesus' teaching of, you know, turning the other cheek, loving your enemy, praying for your enemy? How do you rationalize? And I'm not looking for the right answer. I'm not looking necessarily for your answer. Maybe something you picked up along the way. Like, how might one view the actions of Jack Wilson, who was doing what his train taught him to do? We live in an evil world, right? There's evil out there trying to get us every day. And so he carries a gun to protect himself, to protect his family, to protect his friends. You train every day. You hope you never have to pull it out of the leather. Unfortunately, he did. He acted, put one bullet into the aggressor. That guy's now dead. So taking Jesus' teaching of peace and love, I'm not looking for it to do the right thing. How do you see this? Like,
yeah, I mean, as you're asking
me this question. I don't want this to turn into like a pacifism versus debate. But
as you're asking this question, though, I'm like, literally things are bouncing around like in my mind back and forth, and I'm thinking about it. And I'm going to do something that everybody's going to hate right now. I'm going to do it.
I won't hate it.
And if you don't hate it, then
take your beer away.
You're a good old Southern Christian that, you know. No, it's like, I'm not going to be conclusive on it. You know, I'm not going to be like, okay, this is what happened and Jesus said this. Because even the whole turn the other cheek piece of scripture that you're bringing up, I mean, that's a contextual piece of scripture.
There's 90%+ of the Bible,
right? There's a specific context to that, but there's truth in the context of that piece of scripture that can apply to different facets of life and different subjective scenarios or whatnot. But overall, I don't know. I mean, where do you think this man's heart was at when he pulled out that gun? Do you think, okay, let me clarify. We obviously know that the man, the perpetrator, there's something wrong there with this guy's heart because he shot somebody for, I mean, I'm going to say no reason now, but there obviously was some kind of reason. But where do you think this other guy's heart was? Do you think he was really out just to kill somebody? Or where do you think his heart was?
Well, I think that's, I'm glad
you
couched it that way, because I think that's what a lot of people who are anti-gun.
We saw the action.
Right. I think they couch things that way because they want to make it seem like gun owners and people who carry all the time are out. Like we relish the fact that, man, I hope today's the day I get to kill somebody. Yeah. And we're not. And I don't believe that this guy was. I mean, he said it. Whoever you are, I tend to take you for your word, especially once something traumatic like this has happened and you got camera shoved in your face. I think more truth is going to come out than lies. And I believe he said this, that, you know, you train every day and you hope that you don't have to use your weapon, but he did. And I believe his heart was in the right place because he just witnessed two of his church members, two of his church family be shot and go down. Right. Everybody watches the news, at least to a little bit, reads the newspaper. We know what happens when somebody pops up. I think the guy was wearing like a fake beard and stuff too. Like the guy wasn't right. You know, something going on. So something like that goes down, you see a gun come out, you're going to start thinking, okay, something bad is about to go down. So I think what he had in his heart and his mind, at least, was to stop the threat. He saw two people already get shot. He wanted to prevent any more deaths. And so he fired one round and was able to do that. So that's where I think his heart was. Like all he was trying to do was prevent more destruction of human life.
It's funny that you say that because that makes me think, gosh, back some 10 years ago, probably right around when I turned 21 or whatnot, I actually took a handgun class or whatnot, and the instructor rammed it into the class. He was like, you do not want to shoot somebody.
Like, for that, a whole host of reasons.
You don't want to shoot somebody that's trying to shoot you. You don't want to shoot somebody that you think is going to shoot you. you don't want to shoot somebody. You don't not want to even if you think you want to shoot somebody right now, you do not. It is not a pretty situation.
No.
No matter what.
No.
It is not. But it is a reality. Unfortunately, it is a reality that there are human beings that for whatever given reason will attack other lives. And it's like, you know, they have to be stopped. So the thing was, is like, the thing that the instructor said was, it's not about shooting. It's about stopping. Use the word stopping. It's like, this force came upon and I reacted with an equal and opposite, but in this case, yeah, overpowering force.
Right.
With lethal force, you know, it's not the intent, but yeah, to stop the threat.
Yeah, and I think that's how a lot of people, yeah, that, you know, a lot of, you know, gun carriers, for lack of a better term, that's how we think, is there's a threat to me, to my family, to the party I'm immediately with. I need to stop the threat. So you, and I believe most police agencies, at least, like they train this way as well. You try and meet force with the next greater force to stop the threat. Right. Mm. So they come at me with a fist. If I have a bat with me, I'm probably going to hit you with a bat. Right. If you produce a gun, the only thing I have left at my disposal, because I don't own a tank, is my weapon. So increasingly, you know, increasing force. But the idea is always to stop the threat. Not necessarily like clearly I'm going to kill this guy. I'm just trying to stop the threat. He's acting in a way that's detrimental to the life and safety of the rest of the congregation. I'm going to stop this threat.
Yeah, I mean, Mike, were you, Mikey, two names, is that it?
Yeah, Mike,
oh,
Mikey.
Oh, wow.
What?
Damn, hurt. 30 years, no.
Well, you're hurt, you've been silent for a good minute there.
Dude, I've been reading.
You're about to hit us with the big
exactly.
Dump.
Exactly.
No, I'm saying.
No, like, but my whole view is just insurance policy. That's how I always try to talk about gun ownership to someone who's against a gun ownership, is I carry a weapon as an insurance policy. I don't want to use it. Yeah. I don't want to ever have to go through the hassle of using it and dotting the lines and, you know, going through the whole, you know, just like if your house floods, it's a pain in the ass after spending weeks and weeks of paperwork and having to justify it. I mean, a gun's the exact same way. It's an insurance policy that if you have to use, it's a pain in the ass on the justification side later on. Well, not really here in Texas, but in other states. Yeah, I think gun ownership is one of the most beautiful things in the world. And I guess something that we can kind of segue into, right? We can get your thoughts on this. Something that that the preacher said, that kind of...
The preacher of that
of the church. It's something he said that he's very thankful and he's feels blessed. And I'm very happy that, you know,
lay it on me,
two
Mikey.
Guys were yeah, it sounds horrible, but I'm glad that the devastation wasn't larger than what it was. But the preacher doesn't thank the Lord for our God-given rights, protects ourselves. He thanks the government. So in his statement, he says, "We lost two great men today, but it could have been a lot worse." He said at the news conference, "I am thankful our government has given us the opportunity to protect ourselves."
No. I can't do that. Oh. Don't tell me that.
I'm very happy to hear that.
Don't make the news come out. The government don't give us a right to do nothing.
Yeah. So,
these are unalienable rights, bro. Yeah.
Thank you, Brother Rock.
We the people made the government to govern our not unalienable rights, if you will.
This is the Church of Christ, which I was born and raised Church of Christ. I have.
Oh, why'd you have to?
I know. I have five preachers in my family that are Church of Christ.
I've got one that's Church of Christ,
thanks,
one Baptist.
Bro, and there was no dancing at Christmas or beer drinking. Well, there was, but in paper cups, because they can't know.
Yeah, we don't do any of that.
You know, the Kimball household.
Well, we do it at our house. We don't do it for Thanksgiving, though, when we're back home.
Touche. But that, because
we got one. So the uncle that married in is Church of Christ. He's a Church of Christ preacher. Mm. The other uncle that is blood related, he's a Baptist preacher, and they've both been preachers since like the 60s. So
dude, my great grandfather preached until he was 94, and he started preaching at 19. At the he probably same, knows my uncle. The same COC.
We'll talk when we're not recording, because he probably knows my uncle. Bro, I'll give you his name, and you need to ask him if he knows him.
Well, I
bet he does.
He's no longer on this good earth, but he's probably listening.
But you have somebody else in the family that's
still? I have three other active preachers at COCs.
Ask them, because they probably...
Well, one in Oklahoma, one in New Mexico, and one in Texas.
Okay.
I like how this your one's, dog is just like...
I know, she's just laying on the
computer. A desk ornament right there.
Look, she's so beautiful.
He's been in Texas, several churches, California for a stint, and then North Dakota, Rapid City.
Really?
Or South Dakota. Rapid City, South Dakota. And then back.
We'll get offline.
Yeah, well, I'm certain.
We're not. Because
it's kind of a, COC's kind of tight-knit. Yeah. I'm certain
I mean,
they know him.
To Brother Rock, we're heathens. Exactly. But, you know, we're doing our best.
I'm only
here. I've never confessed. I've never been to confession.
Man, I'll tell you.
But at any rate.
All right, sorry.
Back to what you were talking about.
So getting back on it. So this was one. Because what's something we were really curious about was, what was the Christian take on it?
And that's right. Brother Rock, and that's kind of what, like I said, I told Mike over lunch today. Thank you for lunch. It was delicious.
You're welcome.
I should thank your employer, because you're going to expense that. It was delicious, though. It's something I was struggling with. You know what I mean? Like I said, it's just one of those things that it, like, you celebrate the action of somebody that was able to jump to action and save lives, right? Limit the damage. But at the same time, I did see a lot of a little bit too much grandstanding and backslapping about the dead guy, the shooter, the initial shooter, right? And it's like, man, I don't want to, I can't endorse that anymore. Like, yeah, I'm glad Jack Wilson, right? Big Dick Jack Wilson.
Yes, sir.
I'm glad he acted the way he did to save lives, but I don't want to glorify somebody's death, no matter how evil. I don't want to glorify somebody's death. But secondarily, there is a government tie-in here, because old boy at the COC, man, I don't know who he's thanking, but
he's thanking the wrong damn person.
See, and this is something as a Southern Baptist churchgoer, something I struggle with as well, and we can address this in more depth. But I mean, we just had. Was it Veterans Day, right? Or not Veterans Day?
We haven't had Memorial Day or Veterans Day.
It was Veterans Day.
Wow.
It was Veterans Day. About a month ago. Armistice Day. Armistice Day became, it was in November, yeah.
Armistice Day, yeah. You're right, sorry.
It used to be Armistice Day.
It was November.
Right?
Yeah, I think it was like November 7th.
Where we celebrated peace. Our government changed it to Veterans Day. Where we celebrate warmongering. Right? During the service, the Veterans Day weekend, We said the Pledge of Allegiance.
At church.
We pledged allegiance to a piece of cloth that was hung on the wall. Luckily, it was on the sidewall and not on the altar, like some churches that I've attended before, which to me is like, whatever you think about the flag and patriotism and nationalism and all that, putting the flag of a nation to me on the altar is like, That's total idolatry to me. Like, that's,
I could see I, that I have going
a,
both ways.
I have a very big problem with that. Just like I said, now I didn't struggle with a lot of things that I used to when I was a young Christian.
Of course.
Then I went through a period like most people go through. Life. You know what I mean? Where most people go through, where I've doubted. There's still a lot of doubt. You know, there's a lot of questioning.
It's called falling off your own ivory tower.
Sure, sure.
When you build it up, and all of a sudden you realize,
we call it backsliding.
Oh, I need to actually think outside.
Yeah, well, we call it backsliding in the Baptist church. Yeah. So, and then now I'm trying to get back and be a little better than I was before, right? With my faith.
What does that mean, better though? I think humble.
More humble.
What does humble mean?
Yeah.
Earthen, grounded. What does grounded mean? It means seeing things, attempting to exercise and seeing things more as they are. God sees things as they are. We see things through our perceptions. And our perceptions are largely based on a massive multitude of things or whatnot. So, I mean, one of my answers
to it's all the biases that we've built up over our lives. Right?
We can sit here and talk about what we see in this whole thing all night. But, I mean, the God that the Christians profess to believe in sees all.
Yeah.
Truths.
Right. You know? He sees it the one way, the right way. And we may never know that.
The God that we profess sees all the factors that mm-hmm. went into the given mm-hmm. subjective circumstance that we're now analyzing at its finite truths.
Sure.
And it's the judgment, you know, is there, whatnot. But, here we are. And I mean, that's the whole point. Christ is trying to say, hey, this is how God sees, participate in it. Look, listen, you know, build communities, communicate, you know, be there, you know. I mean, yeah, so here we are.
There we are. Yeah. So, at any rate, we can leave Armas to stay. We can get back to this Jack Legs comments about it. So, I don't understand, like, maybe he just doesn't have quite the knowledge of, like, where fundamental rights come from. I've not experienced any other. I mean, I've been to a Catholic mass several times. I've attended Church of Christ before. I've been to plenty of Baptist churches. We've never really ever talked politics, and I see that as something kind of set aside from
it's kind of
what,
taboo.
What church worship? Churches, yeah. And I think it kind of needs to be. You know what I mean? The politics, like just in general, right? And maybe even like just like. The philosophies of liberty and things like that. Like you're in church for a certain reason, to worship, right? You're not necessarily there to figure out, to suss out all the intricacies of the philosophies of liberty.
Well, and I want to give him the benefit of the doubt, right? I mean, he had a right, mic that's shoved in his that's face last to. Minute, and he's just trying to thank people, and you know, maybe he is ignorant to politics and amendments and fundamental rights. Maybe he just last minute was just trying to say something right then and there. We all do it. I get nervous when I'm put on the spot and I say things that are ignorant, dumb, or misplaced. I go back and listen to it and go, I wasn't even thinking that.
I'm gonna do that. And the 10 words times just here.
Yeah.
So I'm not gonna judge. I'm not gonna dog the guy, right? But that's right. Something that's being used in the mainstream media for both sides, right? Your gun goers are going, look at this dude, he's not even thinking God and he's a preacher. What kind of preacher is he? And then you have the left side going, ah, see, you're welcome. We the government and you know the greater your overlords are granting you the right to protect yourself. Yeah. And then right after that in the next paragraph saying, but you really shouldn't have the right to do that. Yeah.
And see, to me, it's like this concept, I've had this conversation with people before who I know are not Christians, and this whole discussion of morality and how can you have morality as an atheist or, you know, without some sort of government overlord or some spiritual overlord telling you what's right, what's wrong, right? And so a lot of anarchists and libertarians will tell you that you can have morality whether you believe, like we can all believe the same thing about what's right and what's wrong. And you can be an atheist and I can be a Christian and we can still come to the same conclusion on a lot of things. So we can break it down to property rights, right? So if everything is a property right, everything stems from me owning myself. You don't have any control over me. I have control over me. So anything that you do to aggress against me that deprives me of my rights, deprives me of my property, deprives me of whatever, right? That could be considered, we can agree to consider that immoral. And from that stems a lot of the Christian philosophies about what's moral and immoral. At least actions against other people. You know what I mean?
My facial expressions aren't disagreement.
No, I know.
I have like a million things.
I was just trying to complete it before you got to where you were going to go.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and I'm not talking about like, you know, no other gods before me, you know, this kind of stuff. I mean like, you know, murdering, raping, stealing, lying. That's stuff that a Christian would consider immoral, right?
Yeah.
Those are sins. Those to me all sort of violate me and my property rights. So, I think even a Christian can have the discussion of natural law with an atheist and we can come to the same agreements about where our rights come from. So an atheist may say that believes in natural law, and there are plenty of atheists. There are probably more atheists that are, or more anarchists that are atheists and libertarian that are atheists than Christians, but they would say that natural law dictates the law of nature, the law that we're born with, that we come out of the womb with, dictates that I can protect myself from enemies, you can't steal my stuff.
Which all comes from Christian thought. Because if you do that down even more, I'm sorry, if you go about people like, well, it's beneficial not to lie, steal. It's like,
But you know what I'm saying?
I could steal and lie because
I'm getting you there. Just go with me on this one. Like, We have to agree to have this.
This is like a 10-hour conversation.
I know, and I'm trying. I'm trying.
I love this, man. I'm trying to get Christians think that they made up morality. I love this. Y'all are talking about morality like it's made up.
You're right, though.
No, I love this. Yeah.
So I'm trying to get. And what I'm trying to do is get like super praxeology without getting praxeology, because I'm like, as all of our listeners know, I am not a theologian. I'm not a philosopher. I'm not great at any of this, like, super duper, like, been written down in books, like Christian libertarian, anarchist, whatever stuff, right? So we have to agree to the terms of this debate, right? So if we can agree that all rights come from, all of our rights that are inherent within us come from nature, right?
And nature is what? God's universe.
To me, it's God's universe.
Okay.
To an atheist, it's
so if nature universe. Is God's it's universe, could any religion define God's universe, or does God's universe define it for the religion, and does the religion just discover it? Bam.
That's all right, look, here, that is very deep. That may be a different podcast.
I'm about to break open some deep spirituality.
Can I finish on this guy's comments before you break into it? All right, I'm sorry, Brother Rob. So, if we're all coming from the same place, right? Whether nature is derived from some evolutionary process in the Big Bang, or it's derived from God's creation, right? We're all deriving our rights from the same nexus, right? This guy's comments don't make any sense, because the government did not, they may, in some sort of totalitarian leftist wet dream, which we're not too far off from, they allow us to own weapons and to defend ourselves, right? But the things that we hold dear as Americans to our heart are these natural rights of self-defense, of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness that we believe as Americans, and we know.
Property,
yes.
Not pursuit of happiness.
Life,
liberty. You're bad at anarchists.
No, it's life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, dumbass.
It's life, liberty, and property, but we changed the pursuit of happiness.
Yes, I know.
This is the
You're not a real libertarian, bro. I swear to drop one of those for once.
But these things have been enshrined in the Constitution, which is a bullshit piece of literature.
Whoa. I just
that's a whole different way.
That was just a thoughtful expression.
Yeah.
That was an expression of the thoughts I hear in my mind when you said that. Whoa.
But so, you know, in the Bill of Rights and the Constitution, the document was written to protect those rights from the government trampling on those rights.
From the people, which became the government. Humanity.
Well, the people, we talked about this too.
Yeah.
People created the states. The states created the federal government. And the representatives came together to rewrite and in their mind make better the Articles of Confederation. And as part of this was the Bill of Rights, because they were very concerned that some of these rights weren't being addressed, about how the government may or may not prohibit us from doing certain things. So the Bill of Rights was passed to limit the government's action against the states and the people to act on those. So in that is the Second Amendment. And the Second Amendment is just that they recognize that to be free and to protect ourselves from invasion or domestic strife, the people need to have weapons so that when necessary, the militia could be called up and defend the homeland. Right? And that's the extent of it. So this guy can go screw himself. Talking about the government allowing us to own guns because...
Oh, man, that's bad. That's just bad.
We believe that...
It's just...
Or I believe, at least, that the document is created and written to prevent the government from trampling... The general government, I should say, from trampling on those rights. Now, the state governments can do whatever they wanted to do. That was the initial sort of construction of the federal system.
They were there for interstate commerce. That
yeah.
was about it.
Yeah, but the states could do whatever they wanted to do, right? Mm-hmm. Like, in certain states, like, the federal government couldn't denote a state religion, a federal religion, right? But, like, Rhode Island had a religion, and Maryland had a religion. Like, the states could do whatever they wanted to do, so long as they weren't going against what the federal government had control over, that all the states agreed that they had control over, which, more or less, was international trade, interstate commerce, and that was basically just about it.
Was there right to form a military as well, or no?
They had a navy. Couldn't have a standing army like we do now. Which I don't think that's ever been amended. Every time I think of government,
I just think of North Korea, and it just makes me sick.
That's what you should think of when you think of government. That's what
that's a perfect government.
That's where all governments are headed. That's where all governments are headed.
The double-edged sword is that we need a government to organize the people, but when I think about government, I think about North
Korea. Well, every government starts very small, and they grow. They're a beast. They grow. They get to a point where the people revolt. Everything goes to hell. The whole place burns down. They put a new stand-in government, right? Yep. A little artificial government, small. They get some new little elections going on. It's very weak. It's very small. And then it slowly grows. Well, Soviet Union or Russia.
The smallest government is the household.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
And then it just goes from there.
Your only true communist government.
But, yeah, and then
we don't share equally.
In a sense. Ah, that's true. You make all the money, controlling that bitch. Yeah. That's what I mean.
I was going to go somewhere. I don't know where I was going to go now. Fuck, it was on the tip of my tongue.
I don't want to just go back to this whole idea of
morality.
Then go there. Let's close on this. Let's close on comments from Brother Rock.
On morality.
Well, you know, when I was younger, you know, I was raised Catholic. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, my Catholicism, I really wasn't Catholic. What Catholicism was to me was it was an identity. Of course, I didn't know it at the time. And the reason it was an identity is because Catholicism did more for me than what I did for it. In other words, it gave me like a tribal place in life. Like, oh, I'm Catholic. And all that. Now, I didn't know this. I was operating from good intentions or whatever.
What you just said, I'm sorry, is just such a great segue to why people believe, love, and give all their power and freedom making to the government.
I mean,
people don't have, so many people nowadays, they don't have a God or a religion.
We're by God American.
Or a reason.
Well, it's all greater. Fear-based.
So people their are tribalism is their social network, is their government entity, is their group, is their political
people are afraid
activism.
To be excluded from the tribe. You know? I wasn't when I was younger.
And excluding people from the tribe from the is tribe. The greatest feeling ever. That's a power trip.
But, you know, the point is that as I delved deeper into what my whole religion was about and, you know, took up the cloth, whatever you were, whatnot, I fell off my whole high horse and I got humiliated. And the reason why I'm still, quote unquote, Catholic is because I believe it's a religion, an organized group of people that set ideas, you know, to read about or in stone, if you will, or whatnot. But I believe that they continue to pursue truth. They don't just, I believe that the Catholic Church doesn't just say, okay, this is how it is, boom. You know, and people are like, oh yeah, well, what about this and what about that? Yeah, subjective matters. But ultimately, they continue to pursue truth because the truth is above any man's intellect. It's there and it's up, you know, men can discover. You know, and a lot of this morality that you're talking about comes from, in my opinion, this is going to sound negative, human obsession. I believe that, especially like in the medieval times or the, you know, people will say the Dark Ages or whatnot, mm-hmm. people were very obsessed with what it means to be Christian. So they studied it like a flipping science. Mm-hmm. And they like got down and they were trying to figure out, you know, oh, is lying always bad or this or that and all this stuff. You know, and they came up with all these things to try to be like the perfect Christian or whatnot. But in my opinion, they missed the whole idea that being a Christian is about just being as humble and understanding as you can in every moment. You know, and that's what we're dealing with right here when we look at this. And the problem is that's hard. So it's not natural for humans to sit down and think about every little thing because we're not God. We can't think about everything at once.
Sure.
So we end up with things like politics.
Yeah.
It's a package deal. You know, oh, well, this is how I am, so this is how I'm going to think or whatnot. And that creates a lot of problems or whatnot. You know, when people are just like, well, I'm this, yeah. and I'm this, so this is how I feel, and all this or whatever. I mean, I hate to say it, but it's really lazy. And to get out of that laziness, you have to accept the spirit of that you don't know. And that is a very counterintuitive position to the tribalistic, I know I'm a part of the clan, you know, all this, but you accept, I don't know, and I'm going to figure it out, and I'm going to work through it, you know. And here we are working through this this case, you know, this tragic
tragedy. Tragedy, yeah.
Yeah, of, you know, what was right and what was wrong. And, you know, we have to figure it out. But I think some truths that we can easily establish are that there was a perpetrator with a weapon in a place where he shouldn't have been.
Mm-hmm.
And he was threatening lives, and because of
that... with ill intent.
Because of that action, he was stopped with life-threatening force, mm-hmm. you know? Yeah.
I guess also important to mention, also from the Bible, you live by the sword.
you die by the sword,
right?
He definitely.
I'm not saying Mr. Sword. Jack Wilson's going to die by the sword, but my man tried to come hot with a weapon, and he was met with another weapon. So that's kind of... It plays itself out, right?
Even though that piece of scripture, again, is highly
contextual.
There are truths that, you know, do play in. And I think it's a pretty obvious example there. You know, I'm laughing. I shouldn't be, but thanks, Mikey.
No. It's. Yeah. I mean, look, gallows humor has gotten us through several millennia of civilization, right? So... Yeah, certain things are so tragic and so heartbreaking that all you can do is laugh to get yourself through. So here we are, Brother Rock, with a great episode. Glad you could make it.
I'm glad you came over to play video games, man.
Yes. You ready to play some? You ready to play some Smash Bros?
Supposed to be a relaxing day. Had a long day.
Can you?
Oh yeah, give us an update.
Can you?
Breakdown.
On life, man. On the next chapter.
No.
You want to leave that for another
stay
time?
Anonymous in okay. that regard, you know.
He's just happy that the tobacco age was raised to 21.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no. I'm 31, so. Yeah. Actually, I don't
even
think about that at all.
I know. And
I don't buy tobacco. I'm going to make so much money on selling cigarettes to fucking 20-year-olds, dude.
Did you see the meme the other day? It's like the kids in the car and the cop rolls up. Like, hey, they go, whoa, they go, bro, hurry up and light up a blunt. That way we can cover the smell of
exactly.
the
exactly.
Well, I saw one that's the world you were living in now.
I saw one that said, hey man, how much y'all need? It's $5 a gram. And yeah. It's tobacco.
Dude, I used to buy... Oh, never mind. Brother Rock's tobacco when he was too young.
Oh, no.
Back in the days. That Grizzly Wintergreen didn't come cheap.
Oh, never heard of it. The Grizz, man. The Grizz is where it's at.
Tobacco, Texas? No way.
Hey, when we get off, let me get a pinch. All right, y'all. Y'all know what to do. Tell your mom. Tell your dad. Tell a dog. Find, for the new year, how about we resolve to find a new listener? Every week. How about that? Can y'all do that for us? We'll see y'all next week. Peace.
Later.
Across the 57 Chevy with the hillbilly band. Had a little honky tonk filled with one night stands. Take a telly on fire with a gonzo steel. In a dark house space just to seal the deal. Top 40 country, better watch your back, 'cause this hot rod's faster than your Cadillac.